Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on, have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I am your host, Angelo. We're back, Alex. What's up, buddy?
We're back. What's good, guys? What's good, Angelo? Yeah, two week absence.
Honestly,
we're back.
I think moving forward, we should just take the entire month of August off.
Okay, I'm down for that. Yeah. Let's take the month off. Let's also take September off. What's happening in September? I don't think anything meaningful is happening in September, Angela. Is it? Take out September. Take out like January as well. Nothing really big happens then, right?
Wow. Unbelievable. I was trying to give you a vacation. Mark it on your calendar vacation, and you're just like, nope.
No. I'm down for August off, because August is quite, like, slow. But it doesn't appear so today, because we have, like, 2 weeks of news and stuff to talk about that we did not account for, because, I mean, shit happens, and one of the weeks that we missed was not planned for. The other one, I gave Angela the heads up because I was with Nuestras Hermanas in beautiful Spain. Again, taking in all of the sun, all of the heat, almost 40 degrees.
What the hell is 40 degrees?
Okay, so for our audience, 40 degrees Celsius. So Celsius to Fahrenheit is 104.
104! Oh, hell no.
Yeah, 104. Humidity wasn't all that high, but I think it was in the 30s to 40s. Which is still, like, it's strong. Yeah, it wasn't the best choice, but at least it was better than last year when I went to Sevilla.
Unbelievable.
So.
Nope, you couldn't get me out in weather that hot. No, you could not. I am of the north.
You are king of the north, right?
Yep.
Yeah, like a lot of AC was used, both in the car and in the hotel room. A lot of AC was used because I do not deal all that well with the heat. But yeah, was fun. Managed to check out a few things. Managed to listen to a few podcasts during the trips. And yeah, we're back. We're ready for football, Angelo. It's basically, when you guys are listening it, it's going to be like 1 week and like, I don't know, 10 hours away from the start of the first game of the NFL regular season, which I believe it's going to be Chiefs-Ravens, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, because it wouldn't be an NFL season if we didn't start it with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So
I mean, it's a business, isn't it? You need to sell. And Mahomes sells a lot. Are you excited about football being back, Angelo?
I am actually
so close.
I've been a little bit overworked, just a touch overworked lately, so I'm a lot of bit tired. But yes, I am very, very excited for football to be back. I get to watch and see how the Bengals will disappoint me this year.
Maybe they won't. Maybe it's time for that Super Bowl win.
We'll see. I'll tell you this much. Okay. It's more likely than the Seahawks doing it.
Jesus Christ, I'm already taking strays. Hey, we'll make the playoffs.
We're no, you won't.
Gonna do that.
No, you're not.
You also
not.
Think we're not gonna make the playoffs.
I don't think you're gonna I don't think you're gonna compete in your division. I think you're gonna be last in your division.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Why do you always have to be wrong, Angelo?
I mean, if you go by the betting numbers, I'm not.
No, I knew it. As soon as I said it, I knew that it was going to be a layup. Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. Yep. Okay, we're starting all off with an L, and we're taking strays for the Seahawks. It is what it is. We'll prove you that you're wrong on the field when we absolutely dominate, and we have one of the best running backs in the league. And again, like Geno Smith said the other day, no, we still have my guy from Michigan.
Michigan State.
That little guy. Yeah, Michigan State. My bad. I'm sorry. I'm not American, guys.
It's a huge difference.
Not,
here.
No, it's a huge it's difference. Michigan.
It's a huge difference. No, it's not. Oh my God. No, it's not.
Okay.
Like being like it's Barcelona and Real. No. It's like saying Barcelona and Real Madrid are the same. No. Because they both play soccer doesn't mean they did. No.
It's at least like saying Real Sociedad because they both play in the same place, basically. Are you telling me Michigan State and Michigan do not play in Michigan?
They do, but they hate each other.
Okay, yeah, I figured as much. Like, in Portugal, like, you also have, like, for example, my club, my soccer club, Sporting, in the same city, like, almost in the opposite side of the road to our biggest rival, one of the biggest clubs as well in Portugal. We also hate each other, but it's the same place. Like, they play in the same place. That's all I'm saying, guys. Do not kill me, Michigan fans.
Kill
I do not want any beef with any of y'all. Okay, but yeah.
If you've ever been to Michigan, you don't know how accurate of a statement that is. You've never been to Michigan to know. But I mean, that was a very, very accurate statement. I'll tell you that much.
I know the reputation that Detroit has in general, like as an outsider. I do not know if it's accurate. I've never been. And I can tell you that.
Oh, I'm not even talking about that. Like, you know, you're in Michigan. Like, so, like, fuck it. I'll go off the rails. I got a little story. So.
But before you do that, I just want to point out that before we started recording, we made a whole bunch of list of things that we want to talk about. And I ended up the list saying, okay, this should be enough because we're going to be off the rails at some point. I didn't expect it to be so soon. But go on, Angelo.
So when I was like 18, 20, I think it's probably close to 18, my manager at the time was like, hey, dude, could you pick me up from the airport? And he just sent me an address. He didn't tell me where it was. He just sent me an address. And it was like an hour out. So I was like, oh, okay, it can't be that far. And I start driving there. And I'm driving there. And suddenly, like, the roads go from, like, smooth to... I'm like, where the fuck am I? And do you know where I was, Alex?
Michigan.
I was in Michigan, yes. And they have no fear. So, like, I'm used to going, like, so if it's 55 miles an hour, I'll go 60 miles an hour. These motherfuckers are passing me. If you're not going, like, 20, 30 miles over the speed limit, you're in the way. Like, no, I would not fuck with someone from Michigan, dude. Like, legitimately.
Again, they are all built different. No beef different. With any of y'all. You're all built different. Okay, so no beef with you guys. The other, like, city or state, or where I believe it's city, that I have, like, when I go to the U.S. eventually, it's on my do not go list. Although it does seem kind of fun. It's Louisiana. I'm not sure. I just kind of feel that it has too bad of a rep to go there. So, yeah, I'm sorry, Detroit guys. I'm sorry, New Orleans, right? Louisiana, or is it the other way around? Is it Louisiana, New Orleans, or is it New Orleans, Louisiana?
It's the city is New Orleans. The state is Louisiana.
Okay. So Detroit guys, Louisiana guys, my bad. Not going there. Is that accurate, or is it like an okay place to go?
New Orleans. New Orleans is actually pretty nice. My stepmom went there. She was so excited to try the gumbo. And she came back and she was like, I'm not going to lie to you, Angelo. The gumbo is kind of overrated. I was like, what? No!
So kind of overrated and doesn't seem like the safest place in the world, right? Compared to other U.S. Yeah, okay. Is it okay?
There's worse cities to go to. There is much worse cities to go to.
Okay.
The problem is, so like, the U.S. is so fucking big. Yeah. So you have a lot of states. So if there's an area where a lot of people are concentrated in, you know, of course it's going to have a reputation for having, like, for being rougher, having more crime, whatever, because there's just simply more people. There's more numbers to commit crimes, basically. So, I don't know. I just think, like, the bigger cities in the U.S. get a bad rep in general, quite honestly.
You also, like, the states are also so big that they have so many cities that I know that I'm generalizing stuff when I say that. I think Louisiana and Detroit are not the safest places in the U.S.
Do you know the difference between if you drove there, do you know how long of a drive that is to get from one to the other?
I don't know. I think over 10 hours, probably.
Actually, that's pretty close, yeah. It's probably a little bit less, but yeah.
Okay.
But that's kind of the thing. I heard, like, distance over in Europe isn't the same. So, like, where I'm going to work is half an hour away. I heard you can drive most of Europe in that time frame.
No, like 30 minutes doesn't get you from where I am to the place that I work in. So just so you know, that's over an hour and like 15 basically drive. And that's roughly like 80 to 90 kilometers. But you mentioned like the 10 hour thing. That's basically how much time it would take from me to go from where I am just to drive up to Barcelona, which is like at one of the furthest points in Spain that I can get to, basically. So, I can basically go across the entirety of Spain and most of Portugal, because I am quite in a place closer to the, like, the sea, basically, to the far left. Going from there to Barcelona, which is far right in Spain, so just across basically all of Portugal and all of Spain, that's 10 hours.
That's crazy. So there's a bigger difference between you and the furthest point of Spain. There's a bigger difference between me and Austin. I'm going to give you this as context. There's a bigger distance between me and Austin, and we live in the same country, than you and the furthest part of Spain.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that you're probably okay taking those trips all in one day and make it okay. No? Like,
my family was crazy. When I was younger, they would do like 24-hour drive trips.
Jesus Christ, dude. I did 6 hours from here to where I went in Spain, in Malaga. I was ready to just stop the car, just stop somewhere, because the 6 hours are quite too much for me. That's crazy. Like, my dad usually has more resistance in those things. But I don't know, like, in the car, I've always been one of those persons that gets super sleepy super soon. As soon as, like, the car starts moving and whatnot. Yeah. So it's quite hard for me to do all of those trips. From Spain to here, it was a bit better. Didn't feel as tired and whatnot. But we also arrived relatively soon. Basically, like, we left here around 9 a.m. Arrived to Spain by like 8 something. To Malaga to 8 something, because we made a stop at Sevilla to get some food and whatnot and to just take a trip there. But yeah, like, overall, car drives are kind of a pain when they're over 5 hours, me. And you guys seem to do that fairly.
That's crazy. So from where I am to, like, Indiana is basically you getting annoyed at a car drive.
Yeah.
For me to the next state over.
Basically, yeah, I would get pretty...
That's crazy.
Again, I also get more annoyed when it's the highways, for example, as well. Because it's just...
Yeah, like, I like the back road driving. I like the scenic roads. And
in Portugal, we do a lot more through the normal streets. We call it going through the national streets versus in the highway. But in Spain, like the highway is also free, unlike in Portugal. So it's just like the commodity of it. It's a bit better. So now you're gonna say that the highway and the U.S. is free?
No. Well, yes and no. Okay, so here's the thing. There are two different kinds of highways in the United States. There is your state-sanctioned highway, and those have tolls. But they are immaculately, built. Like, they are the smoothest rides you're ever going to get, and they are the quickest points to A to B. Those have tolls. What we call sometimes freeways are highways that do not charge, but they are also, you can also get like a 4-lane freeway. So,
okay.
That's it. I guess everything's just bigger in the US.
Okay. No, but Spain actually has something similar. Not 4 lanes, but 3 lanes for a good chunk of it. And they have one thing that, as you mentioned, like super pristine. The highest of the high ends, roads are super well taken care for. No traffic whatsoever. And they call it the autopista. And that one has a toll. Like, it's not all that expensive. And it seems fairly standardized, unlike in Portugal. And basically, it depends where you live. For example, if I go here to the more point in the north, and I leave the highway halfway across it, I pay a certain toll. If I leave at the very top in the north, I pay the full amount of the highway. In Spain, it's not like that. It's standardized. You pass it, you just pay the toll. That's it. Doesn't matter where you go in there. And then they have another thing that is called the Autovia, which is closer to the highways that we have in Portugal. But they are free. Because in Portugal, you have the highways. All of them are paid. I believe next year, some of them won't be. But right now, yeah, they're all paid for. And it's not the best roads. So yeah, you're paying and the roads are still not pristine. And you get quite a bit of traffic, especially in the capital.
Oh, that wouldn't fly in the U.S. Capital. That wouldn't fly in the U.S.
Yeah. And they're all paid.
Even the freeway is maintained by state taxes. So, yeah.
No, here it's basically they built a highway. And basically the idea was that by paying the toll, we would be paying for the cost of the highway. But most of the highways by now, because we were one of the first countries in the Europe, if I'm not mistaken, to start building the highways and make it a thing and really investing in it. So by now, most highways are paid for. And we still keep paying the tolls. And they keep rising basically every single year. So it's kind of a weird concept that we have here. The streets are okay. They're not shit, but they're not excellent. You can still find patches that are not all that good. But yeah, they're paid for, and we keep paying for it, and the maintenance doesn't really seem to be there. It's once in every blue moon it happens.
Wait, you don't have construction year-round?
No. In the highway that goes to the capital, that basically is the biggest one that connects north to south, you rarely, if ever, catch maintenance being done in the road.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I've ever taken a road trip on a highway that there wasn't maintenance going on, or freeway.
Yeah, I rarely get any, to be honest. And I didn't also get any meaningful maintenance being done in Spain as well. Like, I didn't, I was there for all that much, so it was just 1 week. But I also didn't get any maintenance done. And I mostly did highways, like, for everything. I was even joking with my girlfriend, like, I'm doing 5 kilometers to go somewhere, and the GPS just sends me through the highway, and I'm like, okay, this is new, because in Portugal we're not used to that.
Really?
Yeah, like
that's a common thing in the big cities in the United States. A very common thing.
Yeah.
Hell, I'm not even in a big city, and there's multiple places I can get to where I would have to do that. 5 minutes on the highway, take an exit. And then you're in wherever. I'm not gonna name my cities, but yeah. But you're in the next city.
Yeah, you're like going from city to city. Like, it does not involve highways for the most of it. We're
really?
Also quite smaller. Yeah, but we're also quite smaller. Like the next closest city to mine. I also guess it depends on the concept of the city, right? Because. Yeah, when you talk about city, then you're talking about another thing in Portugal. So I guess they're not as close. But like going from the small towns, so from small town to small town, because I would say that for Portugal, for example, Lisbon, I would compare Lisbon closer to, I don't know, a state than an actual city, because then Lisbon has a lot of places in it, a lot of small towns in it. So I would think it's closer to a state when you translate it to what we have here. So if we're talking about like the small towns inside of Lisbon, like those small towns are easily accessible. Like one to another, it's like, I don't know, 10 minutes, if that much, just going by like regular street. And here, like, for example, I can go to the next closest town and it's like, not 5 minutes, but it's 10 minutes basically. So we're 20 minutes in and we're talking about streets.
Yeah, pretty much.
Got it.
All right, so what did you want to talk about on the show?
Okay. So I think we should start with the news probably.
Okay.
A lot of news went down ever since we didn't record, at least in my presence, because I know you and Austin did a show. If you haven't checked that one out, go check it, please. But yeah, pieces of news that happened. QBs got hurt, as always. QBs got named starters, as always, as well. One not so surprising, others a bit more surprising, I would say. But I guess we'll start with the big one. That is JJ McCarthy getting injured. Season-ending injury for him. That's it. I believe that's a knee injury for him. It happened like 2 weeks
ago.
It was a knee injury, yeah. Sam Darnold experience starts once again.
If you don't recall, one of the last things we did before we took our hiatus was do predictions. So are you on board with Minnesota is going to be a shit show this year, or you're still doubting me? You're still.
I'm going to doubt you.
You're going to doubt me? What the? Okay.
Because I think, remember that season? In which Jameis Winston had the 30-30. So he had 30 touchdowns, yes. He had 30 interceptions. Remember that one?
I remember that.
What record did he have? Because I actually think this
nine
is going to be very close to that. Okay, 9-8. So we've seen that QBs can have like high interception seasons. But when they are the starters and they gunsling it, they can actually like get to a winning record at least. And I think a lot of that is going to happen here.
I'm gonna cut you off right there. Here's the thing. So what happened after that 30-30 season?
He got sent packing.
For?
For the rookie. No, not the rookie.
No.
Which guy? Oh, Tom Brady. Tom Brady.
There you go. For Tom Brady. So what happened after Tom Brady signed there?
They won the Super Bowl.
And what did Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce say specifically about that team?
I do not remember.
It was one of the toughest defenses they've ever faced. Okay. So, I don't know about you, but I think there's a far cry of difference between 30-30 Tampa Bay defense and Sam Darnold about to take over Vikings defense. There's like a closer gap between me and Antarctica than those two defenses.
Is it though?
Yeah. Because
we know that defense is
Kirk Cousins was scoring 30 points and losing. He had a top passing offense. No, you can't convince me on this. They're gonna have to show something that I've yet to see. Well, Kirk Cousins was the quarterback for the Vikings. For me to believe that this team has any chance in hell of getting close to a 500 record with Sam fucking Darnold.
Okay, so for the sake of it, they were 7-9 that season. I'm checking it right now. 2019 season, they were 7-9. Their defense, that's what I was trying to find. Their defense, how good was it the year? Because we look at that, and it's just like defenses don't usually like carry all that much from one season to another. At least in my opinion, in my eyes, in my experience, they really do not. So then it's like,
so they could be even worse.
They could be worse. They could be better. I'm saying that the 2019 Buccaneers defense being shit or good does not mean that the 2020 Bucs defense was good. Like, there's no correlation there. That's what I meant. So it could be that just like the 2019 team was shit, the defense, and the 2020 season was good. And the same could happen to the Vikings. Maybe the defense last year was shit, and this year it can be a bit better. Because they are improving and they are under the same DC now.
Here's my question then for you. So like the copium machine that you're hooked up to, is that like a gas mask or is that IV?
No, that's IV, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to speak right now.
Okay, I was just curious.
Okay, so just so you know, they had the 31st ranked defense in points in 2019. Maybe it was the turnovers from Jameis that meant that the defense was on the field a lot. But still, the defense wasn't great in general. Again, all of this to say that last year's defense means nothing to this year's defense for the Minnesota Vikings. And I kind of think that Darnold is going to throw a lot. Because, like, the rookie that could probably, like, get some minutes in case of Darnold sucking isn't going to be available. So, like, what's the point in pulling him? So, there's Darnold. He's going to play the full season. I'm, like, 99% sure of it. Barring injury, of course. The offense is still good. JJ is still around. Addison doesn't.
If he makes it to the end of the season, I'm going to tell you right now, Kevin O'Connell doesn't.
No, it's when you are the ownership and you look at this and you look at last season, it's kind of unfair to judge O'Connell's based on that, because last season he lost Kirk Cousins. This season he loses the rookie that he drafted NFL's that he unfair, wanted. Dude. But the season prior to last season, he made the playoffs. Yeah, we know what the Vikings were back then. I really don't think it's like it's coaching. Their issue. I think they've just been screwed by injuries at this point. But, I mean, offensively, like, they still have Aaron Jones, they still have Justin Jefferson, they still have Addison. Doesn't really seem like there's going to be any legal issues for him. Hawkinson should be back by early November. That's the latest that I've seen of him. Some guys are optimistic, saying that he might be back in October. I'm pointing more towards early November. And the defense, I mean, they added a few interesting pieces last season. They keep adding this season. They keep focusing on that. They added, if I'm not mistaken, it was Jared Verse this season as a rookie edge rusher. I was confused. No, Jared Verse was the guy that went to the Rams. So the guy that they got was the Alabama guy. What's his name? What's the Alabama edge rusher? Alabama.
I'm about to say,
edge rusher.
Is it
drafted this year? Dallas Turner.
Dallas Turner, yes, that is the
Dallas Turner. So they added Dallas Turner in the draft as well. I think the team is okay, and I think Darnold is not shit enough for them to have that imploding season. Now, I do think they're going to finish last in the division, fairly certain. For fantasy, I quite like how they're built right now, and I actually think their guys are being underrated. But just in general,
why?
I could see
you
like
know why they're
a
being
7
underrated?
And run.
Do you know why they're being underrated? Because they're projected to be a shit team on a shit offense.
I don't know about that, Angelo. I think you're going to be a bit surprised, to be honest. I was trying to find out the odds for them here. Oh, okay. So the divisions... So they're clearly less in the division. I was trying to find the win totals, but
let me
tell
you,
does more news at 11. Oh, okay. So more victories, no. Okay, would help if I had like the over under on the season total wins, but that does not appear to be given to me here. So fuck my book. Let's look at DraftKings. DraftKings, we're waiting for the sponsorship, by the way.
Yeah, you guys need to get on that.
Yeah.
Vegas odds, Minnesota Vikings. There we go. Let's see.
Okay. So
Vegas
I got
Insider.
So I have DraftKings. They're telling me to fuck off here at DraftKings because I'm not in the U.S. So I have odds here. I'm not sure if they're up to date, but they have the Minnesota Vikings at 6-5. Respectable 6-5. I think they probably
6-5 for what?
That's no 6.5. It's the win total.
Wins?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Alex, they're favored in 3 games.
So you're telling me upsets don't exist in the NFL?
Alex, if you take out the 1 points, which are the basically pick 'em, they're favored in 1 game.
So you're telling our audience that they should take the under.
Yes, the Vikings are shit.
I don't know. I kind of want to take the over on 6.5.
Over 6.5 wins?
Yeah, that's it.
Alex's copium bag just got renewed. Oh my
yeah,
god, dude!
I got a new ID. No, because I think they'll actually get to 7, so I wouldn't really jump on it all that much. But actually, like
they
on your point,
get to 7.
If you think they're going to be under that, it's juiced to the over. So you can actually get quite a good number for under 6.5. At this stage, you probably can get right around plus 140, plus 130, plus 140. That's numbers that you can probably get at either FanDuel or DraftKings. So
someone's about to get a raise, so let's go. I know what I'm going to do with my first paycheck.
Yeah, let's hope it works out better than what you did with the money off the league that you won that one season.
So,
right?
So to be fair, it took an historic collapse for that to be wrong, for that projection to be wrong.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I know it. But the audience doesn't.
It was so like catastrophic that at halftime I was getting text messages that said Angelo was right.
So guys, just so you know, he bet on the Chargers when they faced the Jags. That's all you need to know.
Yes, I did.
That's all you need to know. You don't need to know what happened afterwards. You can just imagine it. Because you know how that game finished. So maybe he's just like that here. Actually, like, this is quite weird. Why does this say divisional round? Oh, okay, so this is saying under division. Oh, maybe this is divisional wins. Okay, never mind.
I was about to say, so I mean, if you're willing to go to the Vikings at 7 wins, why not just go and project them to win the division?
Because they're not going to win the division. They're going to finish last. I just think the division is quite strong at this stage. So, JJ injury, you think it's completely doomed?
How many wins did you predict the Bears to win again? Refresh my memory.
I would have to look at that as well again.
I could have swore it was 7. I'm just saying I could have swore it was 7. And I had him at 9. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, I also said that I was probably going to change those by the time the season started. But I have the Charger, I don't know what is up here. Okay, log in. Okay.
The spreadsheets Alex usually has at the ready are failing him today.
No. I did not have this on the spreadsheet. I was just, what is, I'm white. What is, oh, view my scores. Okay, here we go. Why does this not show my scores? Huh. This is quite weird. I might have to just completely redo all of them again because this is not showing me my scenarios that I saved. I even made a goddamn account to save this. This is how they repay me.
I was not as bold as you. But regardless,
yeah.
Let me just, for if you're at home, let me just say that the man who just told you that he thinks the Vikings are going to get to 7 games projected the same amount of wins for the current Chicago Bears roster. And now you know why I'm skeptical as to whether or not the Vikings can get to 7 games.
Hey. I think there's a scenario. What's the expression that was used quite a bit ago that I always made fun of? Oh, it's in the realm of possibilities. I think it's in the realm of possibilities for Minnesota to finish above 7 wins. Let's put it at that. Mm-hmm. If other people can use it, why can't I not? Right?
Why can't you use it if other people?
The realm of possibilities, which at this point just means I like. The range of outcomes, yeah. Yeah, the range, it's in between the range of outcomes, which at that point, it almost means like anything can happen. It's in the range of outcomes for the Chiefs to basically pick number one overall next season. Because their whole team can get injured, so it's in the range of outcomes, right? but yeah, we'll leave it at that, I think. Minnesota has a chance. You think they're probably going to pick first? 101?
No, not probably. I have them projected as the 101.
Okay, so that should be fun for them. I mean, they have J.J. McCarthy in the wings waiting. You throw in the number one overall pick. Could be spicy. Just want to give you a scenario here. If Herbert from the Chargers doesn't play great, and the Vikings have the number one overall pick, could you see them saying, okay, we'll trade you J.J. McCarthy and we'll trade you some pick. You give us Justin Herbert, and with the first overall pick, we select a massive weapon for him. Instead of selecting a QB if they're not sold on JJ.
So
I don't know.
You're telling me Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison isn't like fucking enough, and TJ Hockenson? That's not enough. He needs another weapon.
He needs another
Caleb Williams?
I mean, Caleb Williams got 3, yeah? And a running back.
Like, goddamn.
They're going to have every single piece ready to go.
Unbelievable, man.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
So I think Minnesota's kind of enough right now.
Okay.
We'll jump to another QB injury. Another QB injury that might not generate as much chat from us. But Jacoby Brissett got injured this past weekend as well. In the last preseason game with the Patriots. It's a right shoulder injury. I do not believe a timeline is out. Timeline is out for his recovery right now. But before that, if I'm not mistaken, Gerard Mayo did say that he thought if there was a QB competition, because these coaches always love to create hypotheticals when, like, speaking of hypotheticals, when they're actually like a reality. But if there was a QB competition in New England, that he thought that Drake May was probably ahead right now. So, two things. There's not a QB competition, and probably the dude is the head coach. But okay.
So here's the thing. When was the last time someone was drafted in the top three at the quarterback position and didn't immediately start?
Trey Lance.
So that was exactly, and that was a very, very, very nuanced situation. The team was a Super Bowl contender and they had just traded up to get the pick. So,
yes.
Here's the thing. I believe this means one of two things, if true. Either Gerard Mayo looked in the mirror and saw how shitty this roster was and was like, I kind of want to protect this guy and not subject him to this year. Or he secretly knows he fucked up with that pick. Because here's the thing. If Drake May was as good as he's billed as, he would have been the starter from day one and it would have never been a competition. And Gerard Mayo would have never said this.
I don't know. I think part of the reason is I've heard that the ownership doesn't really want him to start Drake May right now.
They understand that the roster is as shit as the roster is.
Yeah, I would think that's the reasoning behind that. But like, I also think like when you look at last season, for example, the Houston Texans were quite shitty in 2022-2023. Then they draft this one guy out of OSU, TJ Stroud.
Totally.
And the roster is perceived to be quite shit.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, like, he starts anyway. Despite everyone thinking that they were going to suck. And, like, he was going to suck and the team was shit. And it turns out okay.
So let me ask you this. When was the quarterback competition in Houston?
Davis Mills, a former one-year starter for the Texans.
Right. So was Davis Mills ever vying for that starting spot? I'm just curious. You know, I'm just asking questions here.
I don't remember.
I remember them drafting C.J. Stroud, and I didn't hear a fucking peep out of the – I didn't even know you could combine the words Davis and Mills together in Houston anymore. So that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
That's all, right? That's all, Angel. But I mean, like, put yourself in the coach's shoes as well. Okay, so you're a rookie head coach.
Yep.
And I believe, like, the perceived notion that most people have right now, and we talked about this before, is that a QB that sits for a year has a higher chance to turn out good than a one that starts right away in a roster that isn't perceived to be excellent. And we look back and we look at Patrick Mahomes. Everyone thinks that he wouldn't be as good, probably. Most people think that he wouldn't be as good if he had started year one. Okay, not that person. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Jordan Love was also perceived to be quite raw.
You're listing guys I was on the bandwagon of to begin with.
I mean, I'm sorry, I'm talking to the one guy that apparently loved all these dudes, but still, the general consensus was this, and is this, I would say. So, like,
You're talking to the guy who watched Carson Palmer get sat for John fucking Kitna. Okay? There's nothing.
Yeah.
There is nothing that you can do to like phase my devotion, damn it.
But did we not talk before that the new norm could be that you bench a QB for a year to let him learn? When the team is not ideal. I mean, we talked about Sam Darnold that could have had a better career if the Jets were not that bad. The Jets roster wasn't that bad. And maybe if he had sat down a year, we talked the same about Zach Wilson, for example, as well.
Sam Darnold wouldn't have had to sit a year for that to be true. Sam Darnold would have had to sit for 4 years for that to be true. But regardless, what's the point you're trying to make?
I'm trying to say that has a rookie head coach, it seems now that it is perceived that a rookie QB should sit for a year, at least, when the roster isn't perfect. So you got a perfect excuse to sit the guy, play the vet, because most people are thinking like that. So you do that, and when the vet struggles, you put the rookie in. Now, even if the rookie struggles, you can say, okay, we let him sit for a bit. Now it's his time, and we're going to sit behind him because the vet wasn't doing all that great. So it's more of a, like, for example, when Zach Wilson was starting and then he got injured, for example, then like guys like whatever Johnson Mike White, and did like okay, and people just went nuts for
okay.
him. I'm sorry, beat your Bengals. Yes, okay. And after that, what did he do?
A whole lot of nothing, honestly.
Okay, see? So, he did okay for a game. Kind of was shit for the rest of it. Now he's in a practice cut somewhere. But people just went nuts.
Dolphins just cut him, so...
No, he went to the Bills practice squad today, I believe.
Oh,
he got
okay.
cut yesterday, and he went to the Bills practice squad today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
And now he's there. And it's just like people didn't really want Zach back at that point. And now you're doing the reverse here. You're showing them that the backup QB is quite shit. The vet QB is quite shit. Let's just embrace the rookie. It's the time for the rookie. And you give him those like 4, 5, 6 weeks at the start of the season to sit down, learn a bit more, and go from there. I think as a rookie head coach, like when you're in his skin, when you're trying to be in his position, it makes total sense for that to happen. Now, maybe it won't now due to the injury. Maybe he's seen enough of Drake May that he thinks this is no longer possible. But I think that the safest course of action here was probably to start Jacoby Brissett for the first 5, 6 games of the season. And again, I do not think that's because Drake May's back. I do not think that they messed up the pick. I just think in general, that's the right call here. Why am I wrong?
So when are they going to fix their roster then?
I mean, he has a 5-year rookie deal. So I would hope in the next 5 years. Or
well,
across
you're just
the next
sit him
5 years.
For- No. He's the next Jordan Love.
I think he's going to start. I think he's going to start most of this season. But ideally, I think he would probably sit down the 5-6 games this year, work with the roster that they have right now. And then next season, the roster gets improved a bit more. And it's a gradual improvement of the roster and the player. That's ideally what I think will happen.
I think this is a shit roster and you're going to be really disappointed with your boy Drake May. I think he's going to, like Zach Wilson, he's going to be set up to fail.
There's no hope for my guy.
You really don't like any of the guys that I actually like. Damn. Apart from Jaden Daniels.
I said rip Justin Hurts, or Justin Hurts, Justin Fields, when he was drafted by the Bears. Rip Drake May. He got drafted by the Patriots, unfortunately.
Might be wrong on that one.
Huh?
You might be wrong on that one. We shall see. Okay. So, Russell Wilson, now that you mentioned Justin Fields, Russell Wilson was named the starter today for the Pittsburgh Steelers for the surprise of, like, the, I don't know, 10 guys who are still in the fan club, sitting somewhere behind, below a bridge in Ohio. So, those guys are super proud of themselves right now.
I'll be surprised if Russell Wilson makes it past, like, week 9.
Stop it. He's going to start the full season. The backup is shit.
I'll be shocked.
The backup is shit.
The backup is better than the starter.
The backup is absolute dog shit, dude. Like, even in the preseason, he was looking like dog shit. Gotta tell you that. Like, a deer in headlights. It's just, it's the same exact Justin Fields from Chicago. So yeah, congrats. Did you won a few, like, preseason battles? You got some hype off of that. Now you're back to being a backup. Good luck. Don't think it's even worth saying anything else. So if you're in the fan club still, I believe the door is about to shut, so just turn off the lights. Bo Nix was named the starter for the Denver Broncos. So after a fierce battle with my guy, Zach Wilson, it appears my guy ended up turning into the depth chart. Yay. I do believe, like, the GM for the Broncos did say that he thinks Zach Wilson has loads of potential. So do I, dude, but that ship has sailed. What do you think the Broncos will do now? With Bo Nix at the helm, do you think they're better than they would be if they had, I don't know, Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson or whatever starting at the beginning of the season? Or do you think they are better? Because, like, there seems to be a few people, and I actually kind of agree, that think that Bo Nix is the perfect Sean Payton QB, and that they might surprise a few people. Now, I don't think, like, they're going to surprise anyone. But I do think they're going to be better than people are thinking right now, because looking back at the win totals, they are, where are the Broncos? Broncos, they are 5.5. Their win total is projected at 5.5. It's just to the under, so you're probably getting a better number at 6.5. I would take both over 5.5 and over 6.5 right now. And over 6.5, you can get plus 145 at DraftKings right now.
Yeah, I didn't listen to a thing you said. Here's my hot take. At the end of the season, Bo Nix is going to be rated higher than Drake May.
Why don't you take it a step forward? I mean, you can just go, like, I don't know. Let me give you a real hot take that you can actually just use. You go here to any betting house of your choosing, and you go here and you check the markets for the futures, you know? The things that you can bet long-term that probably are going to happen at the end of the season, just go here, and you have one market that it's called Offensive Rookie of the Year. You go there, and right now you can get your boy Bo Nix for plus 800 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. So just do that, huh? No. If you're being outtaken, do that.
No.
No? Okay. Not,
because here's the thing. Neither of them have a chance.
He's going to be better than shit.
Offensive Rookie of the Year is going to go to one of two people. It's going to go to Caleb Williams because of the hype, or it's going to go to Malik Nabbers.
Malik Nabbers? What do you think are the odds for Malik Nabbers right now? Without checking. Just my quick guess.
Plus 160.
Plus 160. Okay, so I have something here that you can maybe use your raise on, that it's a bit better. Because I can tell you right now, you can go and bet Malik Nevers to win Offensive Rookie of the Year for plus 1,400.
Let's go.
So just do that with your money. Like, you bet a dollar on it, you get 1,400.
I don't think that's how that works.
Isn't it? It is. Unless I always mistake this. Because he's plus 1,400. You say that as 1,400, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll never teach that. By the way, if you want to know, we'll never teach saying the numbers that way here. Even in college, I was never taught that. So always struggled with that one. But yeah, like, if you put a dollar on it, you get 1,400 or 1,400.
We'll see.
Okay, so after that, we have the CeeDee Lamb extension. So he now becomes the second highest paid wide receiver in terms of average API, average.
You know what this means, Alex?
What does it mean?
It means Micah Parsons is not long for the Dallas Cowboys.
I actually think they resigned everyone.
No way. Because here's the thing. What moron signs a wide receiver to a max deal, and then's like, hey, by the way, the quarterback that's been getting him the ball, yeah, we're not bringing him back. No way.
Again,
no way.
They are I would bet everyone back.
Okay, that's fair. It's either everyone or Micah Parsons is getting voted off the Dallas Island.
I do think, like, Micah Parsons is being a bit of a loudmouth recently. But I think I still think he means too much for that team. Again, probably not as much as people think, because I have a different perception on the dude than most people think. I do not think, like, he seems to be a guy that is good at a whole lot of things, but elite at not a whole lot of things. And a lot of people seem to think that he's a leader in a lot of things. But I still think, like, he's going to get paid. Jerry Jones is just, he's going to bargain. He's going to be like, not going to give you all of that. And then much like CeeDee, like, he was bargaining with CeeDee for like whole off season, ended up giving him exactly what it was going to happen. Like, CeeDee did not want to be like the highest paid. He did not want to reset the market from what he read. He just wanted the ballpark, and that's what he ended. He ended like $1 million less API than Justin Jefferson. So it's just right there, and Chase is going to get the same things. Everyone's going to be there for the Cowboys. Because I know Austin mentioned we should be talking about this as well. Well,
what about the Dallas Cowboys?
No, Austin mentioned that we should probably mention like who's not going to get paid in the Dallas Cowboys between Dak and Parsons.
Oh, I already said it. I said Parsons.
Yeah, I think both, honestly. They're just going to pay everyone because they have the money. You can create the deals in ways that, like, the money's gonna overlap at some point. But like, at least right now, it's feasible. Let's put it like that. Okay. After that, we have Chase not getting an extension so far. Apparently, like, he was supposed to be ready to join the camp. Zach Taylor said that he did not anticipate Chase to miss any more practices after he came back this week for the practices. And he has missed practice today.
I'm just curious what the whole point of this whole saga with T. Higgins, if we were just going to, like, delay paying Ja'Marr Chase too? Like, I don't know. It feels like a carrot and a stick situation where we're just basically waiting out to pay Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I don't know.
Like, you technically do not need to pay Ja'Marr Chase right now. He still has 1 year on his rookie deal. Then he has a fifth-year option. So the extension should be next season. But I do believe there was, I think it was Shadow Chutzinko, that he did say that he thought Ja'Marr Chase's camp was not going to be okay with playing under this current deal due to, like, wanting to be safe in terms of, like, injuries and whatnot. So, again, could this be an issue? Could you be without your star wide receiver for a bit? Or do you think eventually it's gonna be solved?
I think eventually it's going to be solved. I think this is going to sound shitty, but I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to, like, use that paranoia to get Ja'Marr to sign a cheaper deal. And then we're just going to eventually pay him if he doesn't get into that.
So you're going to be the Cowboys is what you're saying.
Pretty much, yeah.
Got it. It starts to feel like that. Because the mold has been set now by CeeDee Lamb. So
quite honestly, like, there's very few differences in the way the Cincinnati Bengals, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Green Bay Packers are run. I hate to say it, but it's very true.
It just feels like a weird situation at this point. But hey, maybe now that the frame has been set for the Ja'Marr Chase, for the CeeDee Lamb deal, as the second highest paid wide receiver, maybe it just goes off a bit smoothly. Like, the deal wasn't signed all that long ago for CeeDee. It was this week even, I believe. So maybe they start working a bit better. And if I'm not mistaken, last season they announced the Joe Burrow extension during the Kansas City-Detroit game that opened up the season. Maybe we can see a repeat of that this year with Ja'Marr Chase.
Potentially. I don't know. I don't think a deal gets done this year, but I could be wrong.
No, I think the ownership probably would like to just have him sign the deal next year because it spreads out the money a bit better. You don't have the overlapping cap hits of Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow as many years. But if Chase really is adamant of not playing under this deal, then I could see it being tricky. Okay, and after that, we only have one more piece of news that we thought was newsworthy. And your boy, Gardner Minshew, wins the starting job for Las Vegas, and he is going to start this season for maybe like 5 weeks. But it's going to be a hell of a 5 weeks.
Yeah, I think the Raiders suck.
You think there's any chance my boy, AOC, gets the start?
I think, actually, yes, I think we'll get to see him start. But here's the thing. I don't think it matters. I think both quarterbacks are extremely, like, limited as far as the potential they have for greatness. I think that the Raiders are using a system from a bygone era, which is we're just going to have a really good defense, and we're going to score, like, two touchdowns a game and hope that's enough. And I don't think it's going to work out very well. I could be wrong. If I was wrong on this one, though, this is the one I expect to be the most wrong. Not the Vikings, not the Seahawks, this one. This one I could be proven wrong with, and I think that is within the range of outcomes.
Oh, range of outcomes. Word of the day for us.
Yeah.
So, again, they are another team who are they're over under 4 win totals. It's sitting right at 6.5. And it's juiced to the over, which means you can probably get a very good number. if you're going under that, because the over is minus 145, for example, in a few places. So you can, you're going to get plus number for the over, for going under. All right, just giving you ideas to invest your money that you're getting on that race.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I appreciate you.
Okay, and that's every single bit of news that we have right now. After that, we wanted to talk about, which topic do you want to go to next? There are three more. One of them should be probably the last.
What's that? Previewing the Ravens and Chiefs?
Yeah, that's the one. No. The picks for the Super Bowl should probably be the last one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Do you want to talk about Dark Horse teams? Or hot takes for the season?
Dark Horse. Actually, let's skip the hot takes for the season for next week, because we'll have the hind... Well, not next week, but... Actually, will we have the hindsight of week one next week?
We will not have hindsight. No.
No, we won't.
The first game is on Thursday next week.
Okay, so let's save the hot takes for next week. The season will just be right upon us.
Because we spent 20 minutes talking about
highways. Yes. Indeed.
Okay, so Dark Horse teams. Do you want to say one for each conference or two for each conference? Or at that point, that's probably too many. Do you want to do like one each conference, two in general?
I think two each conference could be interesting.
Okay.
Because I got two.
Okay. Then I guess you can go ahead.
Well, Alex, it wouldn't surprise me if the Tennessee Titans make the playoffs. They have a new head coach. He's not a rookie quarterback anymore, but it's going to be his first full year as a starter. They have added weapons, and they have gone from this boring team to a team that I am going to be excited for.
But they're still quite shit. But a lot of people are in your camp, especially in fantasy football. People are hyping them up.
They might actually be the best team in the AFC South, buddy.
It's funny how you sometimes switch up the places. I'm sure you meant the worst.
Best. But go on.
I'll forgive
from top
you
to top, that. Best team. But go on.
Top to top, the best team. I mean, they are making moves and they're spending a bunch of money in free agency. But the thing is, historically, when teams do that, it sort of goes tits up. I remember a few teams back then that invested a whole lot in free agents in a single season because they had the money. They had the rookie QB or a cheap QB. New coach comes in. He wants to sign a bunch of guys. They do that, and it goes tits up because they just do not mesh with the system. And it's hard when you get all of those free agents to just build a good chemistry between those guys, especially like from the get-go. And I would think it's even harder when you have a QB that is not that good. Like Will Levis.
Quarterback in the AFC South?
Yeah. It's so funny. And now I can't use this a whole lot anymore. But it really does feel like Will Levis, that one game that he had, the first game ever when he had to jump in and be the starter, it seems like he lives off of that a bit, like the Celtics live off of that championship back in the 2008 or something, and then they just did shit all for almost two decades, and it's a bit like Will Levis here. Like, he had that one game in which he wowed a lot of people. Then he was absolute dog shit for the rest of it.
And people are now still saying that he's going to be great, the best QB in the division. He's going to be great for fantasy football. He's going to support DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley, who's shit as well, and Chigo Kampu, and two running backs. And that team is going to be great. I mean, they're going to win the division, right? I just do not understand the Titans hype. It seems like a team that tried to build the wrong way, just buying a lot of players, paying up for a lot of free agents. I look at this and I think, like, their running backs aren't all that good. Their wide receiver, like, one is old as shit. The other one is just terrible and been fooling teams for quite a while now. Their QB is not good. Not as good as people try to make him be. Their tight end situation is okay. The defense is okay. I mean, the defense has a bunch of new pieces, so I'm not sure how well that's going to pan out. I would think that's going to take some getting used to between the guys and whatnot, as I mentioned before. They're drafting like shit. Like, they just cut another first-round pick in Caleb Farley from 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, or three. He didn't even make the roster at this point. They traded the other QB that they had, that they drafted, and everyone was super hyped about. Which was that guy's name? The QB from 2 years ago, Malik something, wasn't
Willis.
It? Willis, exactly. Much like Will Levis, Malik Willis. He got traded for a seventh round pick after they spent a second round on him or something like that. So it just seems like a team that is getting way overhyped. And at this point, I'm completely out on them. I think they're going to finish last. They're probably going to have like 5 wins total, if that. And I think the experiment isn't going to go all that well. And heck, maybe they are the ones picking number one overall next season.
Not picking they are getting number their QB one for overall. The future.
We shall see. We shall see. So, again, another terrible pick by Angelo. I'll tell you guys what's actually like one of the best picks for a dark horse team here.
Let's keep it to one. How about that? We'll keep it to one.
Okay, I think that's fair. That's keep it to go. One. One each conference or one?
One each
or
conference.
Like one
each conference.
Okay. For the NFC then, I'll start the other way. I think one of the dark horse teams that I have here, people are super low on this team. The edge coach has been proven to make omelets without a lot of hacks, even with eggshells at times, and those omelets sometimes come out pretty well. They added a lot of pieces as well, but they are a team that has been built through the draft, through the players that they had there, and now they are adding key pieces, especially at edge rusher, for example. They added that in the trade market. I'm speaking of the New York Football Giants. And listen, I know a whole lot of you are gonna frown upon it. I know Angelo is gonna frown upon it. Like, he's not a big fan of the Giants. But listen, this was a team that 2 years ago was in the playoffs and they won a playoff game. So let's start with that. Now, like last season, their starting QB got hurt. They got a lot of pieces. They didn't really have one meaningful offensive piece on the receiving end of the football outside of Saquon Barkley. But now, though, they have one of the best wide receivers to come out of the draft in quite a while. Not the best, because there's Marvin Harrison Jr., there's Jamar Chase, but I'm certain that if we did not have a Marvin Harrison Jr. this year, I think he would be the best wide receiver, and he would be talked about closer to a Jamar Chase. Because he is truly that spectacular, and he has been showing it. I mean, Angelo has been all over him. I also like him. I have him in a few places. But, like, just a complete show out in preseason. Like, every report seems to think that this guy's the next Odell Beckham Jr.
Like, do yourself a favor. Google Marvin Harrison Jr. and then Google Malik Nabbers. And just look at the Grand Canyon of difference between the stories being talked about them right now. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, one of them is in a lawsuit. So that's just that. But yeah, I think the team has talent. And I think Brian Daboll, like a lot of people are saying that he might be the first
head coach to be kicked out of town and whatnot. I think that's rubbish. I think they're going to be a good team overall. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. Again, I don't think the QB is great, but I think the QB has made progresses to the point in which he's not the guy that people think he is. Not the trash QB that can't throw, that is inaccurate. He has a problem with fumbles, sure, but sure so does Trevor Lawrence, and like people are okay with him. For those of you who don't know, Trevor Lawrence is the guy that has most fumbles in the last, if I'm not mistaken, it was, I can check that up here, because I had it open up here in case we talked about Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has lost 21 fumbles in the last 30 seasons. It's the worst in the NFL by any QB. No QB has even more than 14 fumbles. So, I mean, if Trevor Lawrence can fumble the ball and still be loved by everyone and decried by everyone, so can Daniel Jones, I guess. So, now Daniel Jones has an actual weapon to use in the receiving game and Malik Nabers. And the rest of the guys, they have not shown out yet, but they were guys that were drafted with some hype. We're talking about Jalen Hyatt. Coming off from Tennessee last season. We're talking about Wandale Robinson as well, that did show out for a bit there before getting hurt in his rookie season. So you have those two guys. Anyway, you add on Theo Johnson. You add on Daniel Bellinger. I think this is a team that is young, but it's eager to improve. And a head coach that has shown that he can coach the hell out of a team that not many people believe in. Much like he did in the year, not last season, but the year prior to that one. He got a whole lot out of that team. And now they also add one of the best pass rushers in the league, in Brian Burns. They trade for him. They give him an extension. He's all systems go. The cornerbacks also improved. They had Deontay Banks last season, if I'm not mistaken, who did pretty well for them. They added more pieces to the secondary this season. I think this is a team that is growing up, has a lot of good pieces in him, and I think they're going to improve and going to show a lot of people that they're wrong about this team. They have 6.5 win total. Again, this is a projection for my team. I'm not saying that they're going to beat this, but in this scenario that I'm creating in my head, I think this is great value because it's plus money over 6.5 wins. And again, as we talked about before, I'm not super high at the two top teams in this division. I do not think that they are going to be as great. So I think there's good value in both them and the Commanders. But here I'm focusing on the Giants. I think the Giants are good value here.
I think you're wrong.
Just plain and simple, right?
You know who I'm going to go to?
In the NFC, yep. Go on. The Vikings, right? Gotcha, man.
Nope, not the Vikings. I think that this team plays in a division that is sorely weak, that I think, other than one team, I think a lot of them are overhyped. I think a lot of them overperformed last year. Well, except one. And it wouldn't surprise me if they compete for the division or even win the division is the Saints.
Yuck. I actually thought about another team in that division, and it isn't the Saints. But yeah, it was the Panthers, yeah. I have this hitch that I want to do a parlay of the Panthers to win the division and the Colts to win the division. And I think that's going to pay out great in general. And I'm thinking about it. Before the season starts, I think I'm going to put that in, actually. Because I have this feeling, man, that the South is going to be very open. You're going with the Saints. I can't blame you for that. All the hype seems to be on the Falcons right now. I think the Falcons are going to be good.
The Falcons hype was there last year, too. Now, granted, they actually have a quarterback to be hyped for. But at the same time, he's coming off an Achilles. So here's an interesting thing. I haven't thought about this yet. There is a Falcons AFC team who does have a quarterback who's coming off an Achilles, who's on the older end, with a hyped up roster that everyone has felt has been underutilized because of the quarterback play. Would it surprise you if the Jets and the Falcons have similar seasons this year, whether they be good or bad?
I think I wouldn't be surprised. But if you told me right now I had to pick one of those teams to be good this season, so double-digit wins, for example, reach the playoffs and whatnot, I would put a whole lot of money on the Jets instead of the Falcons. Because I think their roster is better. I think the wide receiver one is better. I think the running back is better. I think the tight end position is not better, but I think the defense is a whole lot better.
These hot takes. Hold on, hold on. Let's dissect these hot takes. Alex just said, I think Garrett Wilson is better than Drake London. And yes. I'm proud of this next one because I've been saying this for over a year now. Alex just said, I think Reece Hall is better than Bijan Robinson. Wow!
That's what I said. I said what I said. That's it. But, like, I just have to say, do you know, back, like, in 2015, there was this Jacksonville Jaguars team. That team had a lot of hype because there were a lot of players there that were rookies that came from, like, good colleges. That was the first season in which they had, if I'm not mistaken, Blake Bortles experience. Yeah, they had Blake Bortles coming out of college. They had Allen Robinson. They had Allen Hurns, if you remember him.
Allen Hurns, yeah.
They still had, Marcelo Lewis.
Yeah,
Allen Hurns. TJ Yeldon as well from the rookie classes and whatnot. And they were hyped up from the minute Blake Bortles joined, which was, if I'm not mistaken, 2014. And, like, people were sort of hyping them for 2014, 2015, 2016. And in those seasons combined, they went, and I believe they, like, combined for less than 10 wins. Yeah, they combined for 11 wins. That's it. And then everyone sort of got off of that hype. And then in 2017, that's when the click happened. And then they went 10-6. If I'm not mistaken, that's the Saxonville
game.
Yeah, that's the Saxonville, if I'm not mistaken, Saxonville season. And I kind of think that's a bit of what's happening with the Falcons. I still want to think that they're good, but I wouldn't be shocked if they're a bit like that team in which they were hyped last season, they were hyped this season. Sort of underperform again, and maybe next season is when they're finally good, when people are completely off the hype, that's when they're good. I wouldn't be shocked if that happened. But if tell me to compare, like, the Jets and the Falcons, I definitely think the Jets have more reasons for people to be hyped about than the Falcons.
Interesting. So yeah. What Alex is saying, if you have the Falcons players, hold the Falcons players. And if you don't have the Falcons players, wait until the offseason when the hype dies down if they do not perform.
That's definitely what I'm saying, yeah. And actually, like, odds to win the division, by the way, for the NFC South. Mm-hmm. Falcons are minus 145. The Buccaneers are plus 290.
I get it.
The Saints are plus 550. I don't think it's a bad shot at all. One thing is I think the Saints are the team that is going to have the coach that gets fired the first in the NFL. Because I think Dennis Allen, that's a train wreck. Just a complete train wreck.
I think
the locker room is iffy on the guy. I think you could see a leadership change very soon at the head coaching position.
The biggest trepidation I have with the Saints is how poor the offensive line is. That is going to make or break the team. Because outside of that, like, the offense on paper looks really good. I don't think Derek Carr is as bad as a quarterback as everyone says he is. Obviously, you know, I have the 99 hype for Chris Olave. And I think for the most part, he's lived up to that. So, I like the roster. I think the offensive line is the thing that could cause the wheels to fall off.
Just want to point out, you're saying that Carr gets a bad rap. He's not as bad as people say they are. I just want to point out that NFL coaches Smith. And GMs rank them better than Geno Smith, which is asinine. Just want to say, again, across the last two seasons...
No, I'm just saying, one of the last times we were on this, you were like, come on, Angelo, Geno Smith is a better quarterback than Derek Carr. Come
and I
on.
Actually have and, more and, arguments for you. And that's and what now, I'm going to now.
Now, what GM, you're saying
yeah,
is,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Not just Angelo, NFL coaches believe Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Geno Smith. Interesting. Anyway, go
no,
on.
He's ranked alongside, so they think they're similar, which is asinine, because across the last two seasons, Geno Smith is the second most accurate QB in terms of CPOA, and he's also the number one lowest percentage of incompletion due to inaccurate passes. So he's basically the most accurate QB in the league. So kind of absolutely asinine that they rank a guy like Derek Carr, who's out garbage, even close to Geno Smith, much less like alongside Geno Smith. That's disrespectful to my guy. And as he said, people keep writing us off. As he said this past week, and people keep writing us off. We still do not write back, baby. So we're going to be there. We're going to not win the division. Probably. I've seen stupid things happen. But we're going to be in the playoffs at least. So now I'm just missing my last team, right? The one dark horse team that I have for the AFC.
Yep.
I guess there's like one layup, but their win total is 8.5. Can I consider that a dark horse when they think they're going to be better than a team who is over 9.5 wins? Or should I just go another direction? You tell me.
I'll give you the layup. I went spicy with the Titans. You can go more chalk.
Okay. The chalk pick is that division. Anthony Richardson, baby. The Colts. I mean, win total right now, 8.5. They're going to obliterate that. We talked in the show before. Their schedule is just hot butter, basically. They're going, not hot butter, their butter, their schedule is better, and they're going to go through it like a hot knife. I mean, their odds to win the division is +310. That's an easy bet. Like, the Jaguars have better odds than them. The Jaguars are complete trash. I mean, did you know, Angelo, did you know that Trevor Lawrence in the Jaguars era, I was opening, he is 1-18 when his defense doesn't record a takeaway. So that's a 0.053 win percentage when the defense does not get him a takeaway. He is the worst record for any QB in the league. Also, again, as I mentioned before, 21 fumbles in the last three seasons. Most of any QB, by far, over seven. I believe the second closest to him has 14 fumbles in the last three seasons. So this team just has no business being in the same, even in the same breath as the Indianapolis Colts to win this division, much less higher than them. And then the Texans, I understand, like the Hawks, whatnot, like they were pretty good last season, but now they actually play a good schedule. So they have to play good teams. They have one of the strongest schedule across all of the seasons. Like the pass to interception ratio of CJ Stroud is gonna go up. Like, he's gonna commit more interceptions. Right now he's in the range of like prime Tom Brady, prime Aaron Rodgers. He's not that guy, like Houston fans, do not get sold on this thing that he is that guy. He's not that guy, at least yet. So there's gonna be some regression there. I think the cards fell right for the Texans basically every single step of the way last season. And there's going to be some regression here. So the Colts are my dark horse to win the NFC, to win the AFC South. And to be a good team, I think they're easily going to be around the 10-win range. Their win total right now is 8.5. Their odds to win the division are great. They were better, but you can still get them at +340. In some places, I believe in DraftKings, you can get them +340. They are the luck of the season. to win the AFC South. They have a great QB. They have two great wide receivers, one rookie wide receiver. They have a great running back as well. And the defense is just improving. I think this team is going to surprise a lot of people.
I'm going to be really happy if they finish third or fourth in the division. I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to have a smile on my face. So, what do you do if Anthony Richardson just lays an egg and the Jaguars and the Texans are actually better than the Colts, even with the Colts having the softer schedule?
And I'm going to come in here and I'm going to have to make an apology video. But just to finish this off, if you want an actual hot take right now, if you go to any of your sports book, and I'll tell you the best odds. So yeah, the best thing that you can go to right now is FanDuel.
Oh God!
You go to FanDuel, and you go to the MVP market for the MVP odds. And it's summer. Maybe you have a bit of money laying around. I mean, I'm not even saying all that much. $10. If you have $10 laying around, you go to the FanDuel sportsbook. You go down the list, and at +3,500, you have this one guy named Anthony Richardson to win the MVP award. You put $10 on that, and in 6 months, you'll have one heck of a bonus to use, buddy. I'm just saying, do that. And thank me in January.
I'm done with this episode. We'll preview the fucking Ravens Chiefs next week. Get the fuck out of here.
As always, guys, I haven't said this for 2 weeks. So if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts, just make sure to give us a 5-star review. They play someone that they're gonna beat. I do not know. I think it's not that difficult of a matchup, if I'm not mistaken. Oh yeah, they face the Texans. Yeah, easy enough.
I'm gonna be so happy. Okay, I'm done. Just stop it when you're done.
Yeah. Okay, so if you listen this far, thank you. We're gonna be back for 2 shows a week starting next week. So if you followed us since last year, you know that this is basically what we do. We have one show in which we discuss more fantasy football stuff, the other one in which we discuss more football. We review the games, we bet the games. Actually, we just go through the picks, and each of us picks a spread on the games, and overall we just tally up. By the end of the season, last season, Angelo won. He had a better winning record. He also had a better, he just picked better games than me. He had more wins than me. So, yeah, stick around for that. It's going to be a heck of a season. We're going to be in every single week unless, shit happens. But last season, it didn't actually happen. I don't believe we missed a single week. So we're going to be pushing towards that. If you're listening on the Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever you listen to our show, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Make sure to leave us a comment. I believe that's now open on Spotify as well. You can leave comments there like a YouTube video. So do that. Turn on the auto downloads as well. If you're listening on the YouTube, you know what to do. It's all of that spiel that you've been doing for quite a while now. So make sure you do all of that. Notifications, subscribe, comment. And as always, guys, talk to you next week.